I titled this message, Know the Truth, and we want to clear up. It's not much, it's not often I speak on these things that God leads me to, but on occasion we'll talk about, because I want to like to be stuff we can use tomorrow, and there's we will be able to use some things there for today, tomorrow, but we need to talk a little bit about what's going on in our world. And this thing about the Antichrist and all this stuff, and some of the hidden mystery is explained as of all places, 2 Thessalonians. So keep that in mind as you study Scripture, because people ask, you know, is the Antichrist in office? Who is the Antichrist and what's going, and all this? There's some things you need to know, but there's just some very close reality here to keep in mind as we approach life and approach the Scripture. So first of all, let's look in this passage. I broke it apart, and I'm not sure, maybe I should just read the whole blasted thing to you, but it was a lot. So try to break it down with the outline. But just know the truth, and I want to first share with you out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, and then we'll come back in the next part two of this, or the second point of this bullet point of this outline, and we'll hit 3 through 4, 5, 6 again. But we need to cover. If I get my pages, they just suddenly decided to stick together. Isn't that amazing? And I was just there working with this, and they just stuck together out of nowhere. So there, finally. So the first point in is know the truth, and let's read this passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. It says, don't be, and this is where we get the practical application of this, don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. He said, don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. And he says, don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. Now, we'll pick up on that in just a moment, but listen to me on this first point. Don't let people mess with your head is the first point. Don't let people mess with your head. And it's a warning, and God is really impressed it upon me that in that day, back in this and Paul's day, there were false teachers, and they were teaching that the day of judgment, the day of God's judgment, had already arrived. They were teaching that a whole bunch of stuff was already accomplished, already done. You know, other people were saying that they were having visions, and others that they had revelations from God. And there were people saying that they had letters from Paul, and they didn't, but they were saying, well, Paul wrote me, and Paul said, and so there was this huge deception. I want you to remember something. Everybody grab this. The enemy will try to use anyone, anything, at any time, first of all, to tell you what you want to hear. And secondly, if that doesn't work, he'll tell you anything to discourage you and to mislead you. He'll use anyone, anything, even well-intentioned people to discourage you, to lead you off the track. And listen, this is so important. Don't let the enemy deceive you. There are people, you remember when the big election was coming up, and people were having visions and revelations and prophecies how it was going to be. And most of them, if they were Old Testament prophets, would be dead now because they would have stoned them. And they prophesied how this is going to do, and Trump's going to win, and this is going to happen and all. Well, they didn't quite get it right. And there was visions and all this stuff. And I know we can go in and with regard, you know, and it didn't happen. And we all have our suspicions about the whole thing. And they're probably true. But the point is, there were so many that were so wrong. And they even wrote books. There were books out there how this, all this stuff is going to happen. Listen to me. There were in Paul's day, and there will be, there is today, and it will always be, and it will increase. Because it's Bible, the scripture tells us that knowledge will increase in the latter days. So know that. And that we'll be able, and you read to read your scripture on this, and it says we'll be able to communicate. People will be able to communicate all over the world. That used to be in my earlier days, seminary days. They thought that people were going to be given some, devilish, telepathy or something, but they didn't realize that communication was going to be by Facebook and YouTube, because that was not even thought of in those days. But the scripture prophesied this, that there would be worldwide mass communication where people would be able to know things like they'd never known before, and knowledge would increase. That's exactly where we are. And it's not by some telepathic means, and everybody thought, remember the ESP, extrasensory perception at one time was such a huge, no, it was just a simple something that started with Star Trek. Have you seen that in any of the stuff they've done? And the idea for the cell phone came from the communicator when they flipped it open. And, Scotty, beam me up. From that, someone's got the idea, and I was watching a program on this, and the whole concept and the idea for the cell phone came from the communicator on the old 60s Star Trek series. And then it's amazing. And somebody said, well, that's neat, And here it came. You say, does that bit of history help us in our walk with the Lord? Not at all. I just wanted to share that with you. Anyway, but the whole point is, this is where we can share anything around the world in a moment. However, now that we can do that, the enemy is able to lie to the whole world in a moment. And people who are not believers in Christ are believing the lie. And the scripture tells us that if you choose to believe lies, God will allow your heart to be hardened. He will do it for himself. If you want to follow lies long enough, God will harden your heart and you won't have anything else but lies to believe. And people say that's not a loving God, but that is a loving God. He's saying, if you love something like that more than me, I'll give it to you. It's the same thing happened. He's already shown us he'll do this with Pharaoh. Remember what happened with Pharaoh? Pharaoh just insisted on playing God. And God said, fine, I'll harden your heart. And you just see how big a God you are. And that's what he did. And Pharaoh couldn't repent. He hardened his heart. There was no way back for him. And friends, people don't realize we've got people out here and they're in high places and their hearts have been hardened. They've rejected Christ, and they're spreading lies, but and they're believing the lie. They're following the lie, and they want you to believe the lie. And you've got to be very careful, because there are people, they're out there, and they write books, and they write things they say things that just sound so good, and they can disillusion us, or they can lead us astray. Don't believe anything unless it's right there in the Word of God. And if somebody tells you God's given them a new revelation on the Word, turn your back and walk away, because that's a lie. There are no new revelations on the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And people come up and they say, oh, I've had a new revelation. Well, that's why some other Bibles were written that are not the Word of God. Because somebody got some plates and somebody got this vision and that vision. You go back and read the history of that and how all that came about. Very interesting. And I'm not here to attack anybody. I'm simply to say, you get an angel comes and gives you a new message, different from the Word of God, on these golden plates. And when everybody begins to say, well, let's see the plates, oh, the angel took them back. Well, that's so convenient. And yet, how many follow that? I'm not here to knock anybody's belief system. I'm simply to say, friends, we've got to be very careful. If it's not right there in the Word of God, you better run from it. And so there's going to be, and you say, is there another reason? Yes, there's going to be more visions. There will be a rewriting of this book in a lot of places, and there already has been some. And there's going to be people come out and say, oh, we have discovered this document. We have found what this proof that shows that this book of the Bible is not accurate, or this, that's going to happen. Get ready for it. Because the only belief system that is being attacked right now in this country and basically in the world is Christianity. You can believe anything else and you're left alone. You believe in Jesus Christ, you come under the gun. It's sad, but it's real. And so you trust the Word of God and only the Word of God. And somebody starts having visions and revelations. No, do not listen. Turn your back on it. Walk away, because He tells you here, don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter from us. So what's the warning? You say, well, we know this, but friends, there's people that don't. You got to take this message to them. They're going to believe this stuff that's coming out here. It's going to sound so real. Jesus Himself even said, He said, there's going to come a day when they're going to say, oh, the Christ has come. Come with us to go see Him. He's over here. He's over there. And He said, don't do it. He said, when I come, the whole world will know about it, because I'm coming in the clouds and there'll be the blast of a trumpet. You're not going to miss it. I've had people ask me, you know, is it possible that just you really might miss His coming? It's like, are you kidding? You can't. And besides, when Jesus comes again, as a Christian, if He comes right now, there's not going to be anything left here but my hiking boots. He's going to zip us up so fast. I'm serious. He said the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those that are remain will be caught up instantly, boom, with Him in the clouds. You'll know. Don't worry. You won't miss that happening. Is this going to be huge? In the meantime, we have to keep living in this world, and we have to keep our hearts from deception. And so if anybody asks you, well, wait a minute, you know, is there going to be a new revelation, or somebody said this, there's people making fortunes writing books, and I'm, some of these names are well known, and it's like, stop it. Especially all these books about what's going to happen with Israel. And, you know, there's some people I could name right now. Man, I don't know how they keep making it. It's just because people like to read what they want to read. How do you think a lot of these guys are making all this money in these big mega churches? I'm not saying everyone, not all of them, but so many of them, they tell people what they want to hear. The devil is an expert at that. Do you not think the devil is in churches? You don't think that he wants to have people get up here and tell people what they want to hear? To make them all feel good and they don't know the truth? They can't stand when the day of testing comes? And this, I'm not trying to harp against anybody. I'm just trying to lay it out like it is. Friends, you know, that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's right here in the Word of God, and you've got to hang on to that. Secondly, you know, don't let people mess with your head. Don't be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you listen to on TV or on Facebook, on YouTube or whatever it is. Somebody might say, well, we've got to be careful listening to you. Be careful listening to me. Check every word in the Word of God. I will not come up here and say that I have it. I will say I'm trying my best to just tell you what the Word of God says. Let the Holy Spirit bring the teaching and the conviction. But even then, you read what's before and what's after and then everything else that pertains to it to make sure that I myself don't ever say something that's not totally accurate. Why? Because I'm a human being that has to struggle to let the Holy Spirit, just like you do, to let the Holy Spirit bring the message using my voice and using my body as His temple, just like we're all supposed to do. And you have to guard against the flesh. I mean, it'd be a lot more fun if I could get up here every Sunday and just tell you all happy stuff. All feel good, and we'd have a little dessert and have a 15-minute little sermonette, and you go home. And if I ever preach one of those, take me to the doctor, something's wrong. You know, I can't even get started in 15 minutes. Some of you probably wish I could. I just that's not the way I'm made. I'm a teacher. I teach as much as preach. That's the way I'm gifted. And I just can't do it in that little sermonettes. These guys talk to me about their little sermonettes. And I've had a lot of them tell me, we get them off the internet. And it's what, you get a message off the internet? Well, yeah, there's a place, you know, and they send them out and we just modify them. Oh, that's good. Did you ever hear from God at all? To get a message for your people? Enough of that. So first, don't let people mess with your head. By the way, some of you need to watch who's messing with your head in some other areas of life too. If you got friends that just keep constantly trying to create doubt in your heart, in your mind about God, about the church, about a lot of things, maybe you need to check out some new friends. I'm serious. Sometimes we're just hanging with the wrong people. And there's some folks I've had to say, you know, just really kind of get strong with in other areas, in places away from here. And I hear some stories and stuff. It's like, why don't you get some new friends? They're doing nothing but dragging you down every time you're around them. Secondly, so don't let people mess with your head. And secondly, know the signs and the outcome. Everybody here needs to know the signs and the outcome. Now let's go back to this part that I read, and we'll grab verse 3 of chapter 2. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there's a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness, now that's the Antichrist, is revealed. He's the one who brings destruction. Now we're going to read on. He will exalt himself. Now, so this is what's going to happen. So don't let anybody lead you astray on anything else. This is what's going to happen. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God, which is the church, everything, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and every object of worship. Now, it doesn't stop there. He will even sit in the temple of God claiming that he himself is God. What does that mean? Don't get all panicky and upset with what's happening in the world until you see this happen. You keep your head, you keep your heart in Christ Jesus, because Jesus is not going to come. Listen to this. Now, there'll be some people blow a gasket when they hear this. He's not coming until the lawless one has been revealed. It says it in the Word of God, and take your books and put them somewhere else. But anyway, they'll fit in my fireplace. You know. So anyway, serious. All this stuff that's written about this doesn't change the Word of God. And it says here clearly, it's just so clear. Don't be fooled. This man, the lawlessness, this Antichrist, he will exalt himself. He'll defy everything that's of God. And he will even sit in the temple of God and claim that he himself is God. Now that's spooky, isn't it? I don't know about you, but that's just like, and let me read the rest of it. And he said, don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know, this is, listen, I don't preach on this because I'm not really, I want the more practical stuff, but it's not what I want. It's what God wants. So somebody here needs to hear this or I wouldn't be bringing it. But look at this. Listen carefully. And he said, you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. Somebody's holding him back. Jesus holding him back. Holy Spirit, something of God or someone or Christ himself, but it says, look at this. He's going to claim, this Antichrist is going to claim himself to be God. And he says, I told you about this. He said, and you know what is holding him back. He can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly. And it will remain secret, look at this, until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. So the Antichrist, the one, now there's many Antichrists in the world, and we have them in office right now. We've got them all across the world. They're attacking Ukraine. Obviously, you know, you can see it. You see, how can you say that? We have to be careful who we call an Antichrist. But their fruits, by their fruits you'll know them. And they're, you know, it's obvious, you know, you're murdering people. You're not of the Lord, and you're doing that. So, okay. But somebody's holding this guy back of God. And I don't want to tell you who it is. I assume it's Christ. His spirit, maybe there's an angel assigned to do, I don't know. All I know is it says until the one who's holding this guy back steps out of the way, then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. So you've got to know the signs, but look at the outcome. The man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him, kill him is what it says. The Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. Isn't that great? So this bad guy is going to come on the scene. He's going to do a lot of damage, and it says Jesus Christ is going to come and kill him. Now, it's easier to use the word slay or disseminate him or dismember him. But the word, let's just be straight about it. It says Jesus is going to come and he's going to kill this dude. That's all there is to it. And so, you know, when people start fearing, you say, look, Christ is going to come and he's going to fix him. He's going to find him, fight him, and fix him. That's all there is to it. And with his coming. So why are you worried about? Yes, he'll cause a lot of damage. And you read other passages, and you don't just stay with, don't you read all this. Please read all of it before and after, because I can't get it all in. And then read all the other passages, and read in Revelation, read some other place where it ties it all together. But this man of lawlessness is being held back. And then when the time comes, whoever of God is holding him back is going to step out of the way. And then it's going to be tough for a while. And then Jesus is going to come and knock his block off. And so whatever happens, you just know this, you're going to win. Because Jesus wins, and it's all, the outcome's been determined. That's what happens in between, and that's we have to live here. And this could happen. This man of lawlessness could appear through all that's happening. The world is trying to set the stage for it. We have dictatorships, really, in Australia and Canada. They're trying to exert that here. And you know, look at the dictatorship attacking nations over there. And really, we got people who want to play God. They defy God. And I'm telling them, and it's a warning. How do we get it to them? How do we warn people? Don't believe them. Don't follow them. Don't vote for them. Don't support them. You better stand in the Word of God, because Jesus Christ is going to knock their block off. It's the truth. You may feel helpless and hopeless with all this, but your prayers are heard by the living God. And this man here has not come yet. So the time has not come for complete lawlessness. You keep praying. These little mini gods are going to be met by the living God. And you keep your hope in that. And they're going to get knocked off. You keep that hope. I'm here to tell you to stay on the straight and narrow path. Keep your heart and mind focused. Don't be so awfully worried about this. Yeah, things, I just dread having to go buy anything in the store. You know, just to look, don't go to the meat counter. Oh, man. You know, you just want a little piece of sirloin steak. You want to pay, what, $8.99, $10.99, and don't even ask for ribeye anymore. Yeah, and it's like, it's ridiculous. You know, I had to have my truck worked on, and I finally got that back, and the shroud that got destroyed had to be ordered. They can't get one because automobile parts are having trouble. They're sitting on docks somewhere. Still sitting on docks, still not freighted anywhere. You can't get windows for new homes. Seriously? And this stuff upsets us, and we get so caught up in it. Sure, it's upset you. I want a shroud on there. It's going to get warmer weather, and they explain to me it's okay now, but you need that in the warmer weather because it helps funnel air in there and keep you from overheating, especially if you're sitting at island, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's more than I want to know. Can we just find a shroud somewhere? And then the Lord just brings you back and says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You got more important things to do than worry about a plastic shroud inside your radiator. We all do. And if you can't afford the ribeye and look at it and say, I can't, I'm not going to pay that. Fine. Just walk on. This too shall pass some way or another. It will. This too will pass. It will pass. There have been, from the day of Christ, Antichrist in the world. People who reject Christ all out, and they go and they attack God's people. These are God-denying, Christ-rejecting people who want to play God and lord it over others. But they're not the lawless one. They're lawless, but they're not the one. And they don't have the power. And you look right now, isn't it amazing how many people are wanting to play God at the same time? I just kind of want to take those in our country and those in Canada and all, that one in Australia and that one in the Soviet Union and everywhere else in Iran, wherever they are, and just put them all in one little room and say, have at it. You little gods, just knock each other out. We'll see who comes out of here. Really, you want to play God and just get in there and, you know, really, it's unbelievable. And yet, I look to the living God and there's always, look what they did to the early Christians. Nero and all these people. I mean, it was horrible. Friends, don't worry. No matter what happens, our God is on His throne. The time of the lawless one is not here yet. Could it come tomorrow? Yep. Could come this afternoon if God steps back or whoever He has assigned keeping this guy from doing his thing. But it hasn't happened yet. You'll know when it happens. I want to share with you just real quick. This won't be up here, but I want to share verses 9 through 12 so that you'll know what this lawless man will do while he is in office, so that you can tell when this is going to happen, when it's happening. It says, this man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. Do you hear that? He's going to have counterfeit power, and he can work signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction, because they refuse to love and accept the truth that God that would save them. So look what God does. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived. God will cause them. Those who want to believe the lie, he's going to just let them be deceived. And they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. This is what's going to happen to those who don't believe in Christ and they choose to believe lies. Friends, you are people of the truth. And you've got then this third point is what he wants us to do. He wants us to stand firm with a strong grip on the word. And that's verse 15 through 16. Let me read this to you. It says, with all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us by His grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in everything you do and say. So what is He saying? He's saying, I want you to stand firm and get a strong grip on the Word. Why? Because you're going to be tested. We're being tested now. And He doesn't want us to give in to what's going on. Don't get upset. Every time you turn on the TV, try to listen to any news. Listen, it's true. Let's just say it. The news stations, by and large, are just propaganda tools. You know, for one side, they don't tell the truth. They don't tell the whole story. They don't give it but one way. Do you realize this is how communism works? They take control of the media and propagandize, and they give you only their version of what the way they want it. So just know that's what's happening and quit being shocked by it. Expect it. And you know, when you turn, if you're going to watch one of the major news stations, just expect that's what they're going to do. And they're going to try to completely cover up what's really going on. I'm amazed. I think we're seeing miracles, really, truly, since COVID. No flu anymore. No other winter illnesses. And now with the little war thing over there and all that, I'm hardly hearing anything about COVID anymore. I mean, all it takes is a war somewhere overseas and COVID is just suddenly off the picture. It's amazing. And we know how ridiculous that, but I truly, I mean, did all these things just stop? No, but see how they're funneling and focusing? And always know this, one of the major tools of the enemy is diversion and deceit. Get you looking somewhere else while they're doing something over here. So you keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, and you keep an open heart and mind to what God's revealing to you. Yeah, all that over there, careful. What else are we? Keep watching and praying. Don't believe everything you hear. Go to the Word of God and ask God to give you discernment, to give you understanding, to give you wisdom. Those are things we need to be praying for. Pull on your full armor of God. We know what that is. And if you haven't read it in a while, go over there in Ephesians and read about the full armor. Put on that belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the helmet of salvation. Your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. What does that mean? It means you know the Word. You're prayed up. You're ready to go. Hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts of the enemy, his lies and insults and attacks towards you because you're a Christian. And in your hand, the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. And slay the enemy with it. Don't get in arguments with people and get your feelings all involved. Just stand on the Word of God. Go to that Word right here. As people start saying stuff and say, well, here's what this Word says. You need to warn people and tell them, look, you better quit following these people out here. You don't believe a lie. Because if you do, God can harden your heart and you'll never believe the truth. You won't be able to. He'll harden your heart for you. If you choose hell, He'll let you go there. Does that sound harsh? But it's true. God doesn't send people to hell. They send themselves to hell by rejecting Jesus Christ. And so if you choose hell, He'll let you go. Does He do it with a hurt heart? Yes, He does. But He won't stop you. You choose Jesus, there's rejoicing in heaven. You choose hell, there's sorrow. But God won't stop you. So friends, choose the truth and stand firm. Get a grip on the Word of God. What does that mean? Know what it says. Know what it says. There's Bible studies everywhere. I have people call me. I get calls. I got a call from East Texas. and we had a discussion over something that was being taught. And I was going, what? Well, Tony, I said, thank God you had a question. I'm not the answer man, but we're going to turn to the answer man, and that's Christ. So we turned over there and said, hey, now let's read this, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's not what they said. It doesn't make any difference what they said. Here it is on the page right here. Here's what God says. That's the answer. You take this back, and this little study group you're in, you can tell whoever said that. Thus saith the Lord, be quiet. Don't tell me that this is not what it means. Here it is on the page. I used to be more soft-spoken and more gentle. So, this just comes along with life, you know. But really, I do. And I told him, I said, you go back and tell him. Just hush. Just tell him just, I didn't say it quite that way. I told him to tell him just shut up. Just tell that teacher to shut up and just go to the Word of God. And said, well, this is a subjective Bible class. And said, excuse me? It's subjective. What we're teaching on based on how each one feels about the Word. And it's like, go to another Bible study. God. Can you imagine? I don't want to sit around in a group and say, okay, we're going to discuss God based on how we feel. Oh, dear God, help us all. I want to discuss God based on what the Word of God says. So let me give you some ways to stand firm. And some of these may seem a little redundant, but yet we need to hear them. Number one, read the Bible so that the Holy Spirit can teach you while you're reading it. Don't just skim over it. Read it. Let Him teach you. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of that Word as you read it. Even if it's two or three verses, just a day, that's all you can get. Ask God to teach you through His Spirit. Secondly, check, and recheck anything that you're told concerning the Word of God. When you hear me, God, appear, and God bringing a message through me, you check, and recheck what you've heard this morning. Every time, every Sunday, every time you check, and recheck, I take no offense. That's not me trying to give you a word. I'm trying to let God use me for Him to use my voice and this whole thing. My body is His temple to give you a word. But you check, and recheck. Anything. Listen, if you were going to fly a plane, would you check the plane before you take off? Pilots go around that aircraft. They look and they push and they shove and they check everything externally and they go through a checklist internally. And only the dumb ones skip the checklist and they're the ones we read about. Well, why don't Christians have a checklist? Check, check, and recheck. Always check. Check your attitude. Check your words. Ask somebody that you really trust, am I getting grouchy? You probably won't have to ask them. They might probably already told you. But anyway, am I giving these looks to you that says I don't care? Are my facial expressions getting ornery? Well, thank you, kind sir. Some people just reveal themselves. No ornery facial expressions, but they're behind the pole. We allow. Remember, behind the pole, you can get away with more. That's the But really, check, check, and recheck. And then you need to check, how are you holding up? Is something a little loose? Am I slipping? Am I being harsh with people? Do I talk rough with them? Am I loving my partner or my friends like I should? Have you forgotten how to hug people? You understand? Check, check, and recheck. All this stuff, you say, this is kind of a switch in this message. It ties in with this. You've got to read that word and let that word change you and transform you and let the Holy Spirit teach you. But as the Holy Spirit teaches you, He's going to make you stronger in your stand, but loving in your approach. Everybody with me? He wants marriages to be mutually supporting. I see this stuff on TV and I hate it. And these TV commercials, you're seeing these commercials. And it's like, why do we have to do that? Why can't we just... Why does it have to be the battle of the sexes, you know, And I don't know. It's just like you want to scream out, stop. But what you need to say is, God, don't let me buy into this. I'm not in a competition to be stronger than my wife or smarter, or she's not here to be stronger. We're here to help each other be Christians and to grow in Christ every day. We're not here to beat each other up and run each other down and be jealous of each other or insecure around the other. Who cares if one is a little smarter academically than the other? It doesn't matter. You're going to be gifted in other ways to make this thing. You're together. God will make the balance perfect. Why do we have to have leverage in somebody? That's the world's garbage thrown at us. We wouldn't have the marriages just destroyed, just constantly disintegrating, if people just supported each other and stopped stomping their feet and demanding their rights. Truly, God. They do it in churches, not just in marriages, you know, pastors talk to me and say, Tony, what do? I got these. It's like, yeah, I know. You got a group of people, and then there this group of people, and they're fighting each other, and you're caught in the middle. What's new? Well, I need to wrap this up. So don't allow anyone, listen, this is still with standing firm. Don't allow anyone to cause you doubt about God, regardless of their popularity or position. And fourthly, know, pray, live, believe, and share the Word of God. Know it. Pray it. Live it. Believe it. And share it. You say, okay, what does that do? If you're that involved with the Word of God, you don't have time to be involved and listening to all the garbage the world's dumping out. That'll keep you from it. Stay busy. Don't let an idle mind, an idle heart get you in trouble. Focus. 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 And then fourthly, look what he says here. he said it somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, no. He said, as for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Wonder why I had to say that. I'll tell you why. Because people can drain you. life can drain you. Being a Christian, living Christianity with this one who just said, know, pray, live, believe, and share the word, it can be exhausting to you physically and emotionally. Jesus did something that myself and many other people do not do well. You know what it is? He knew when to walk away and go up in the mountain and pray. And this hit me as God was giving me this, as preparing it, and I thought, Tony, when is the last time you actually took a Sunday off? You went anywhere, did anything, and just let yourself, your heart and mind get renewed. How long has it been? Does anybody know? It's been years? And I got to thinking, Jesus did it all the time, and he had a 3.5-year ministry, and you never do. I'll leave during the week. I've done that. I've gone on a trip here and there real quick and come back. And I'm not trying to set myself up or something. I'm just simply saying, man, you got to see, I got to learn lessons too. I read this and it's like, don't get tired of doing good. Don't get burnt out trying to help everybody and fix everybody and do all the, God's the fixer, not me. We're only his vessels. Let me ask you, are you involved helping people? Then do you give yourself a break? Do you go take a breath? Just don't let yourself become discouraged because of the rebellion and sinfulness of people around you either. I do. I get discouraged a lot with the rebellion. I get discouraged with the attitude of Christians, don't you? They say they believe, and then Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them, and you just listen to the stuff they say, and they do. And it's like, do you believe? I mean, are we on the same page here? Don't let it discourage you, because then you'll get to doing what all of us have done. You start judging people, and you're not supposed to do that. So don't grow weary of helping people. And I need to say this, and this is important, because haven't we all had this? Don't grow weary of helping people who are ungrateful. Because not everybody's going to appreciate you helping them. You can give and do and bring and whatever for some people, and they'll act the next time you see them like they don't know who you are. And that's our big test. You know about this. We all do. That's our big tester in life right there. Are you going to keep doing even if they don't give a rip? See? Did Jesus give to people who were ungrateful? Yes. Did he die for people who are ungrateful? Yes. And there has to be that place where all of this transforms me, all living and believing and practicing the Word of God, where it transformed me into a person who looks to my gratitude from God and not from people. God will thank you. God will reward you, and God will honor you for it. Keep on keeping on, even if nobody says one thank you, keep after it. It's hard to do nice things for ungrateful people. Just won't let the air out of their tires every night. Oh, my goodness. There was this high school kid, and he's coming out of a store, he kind of had a little bobble, a little stumble there, and because he caught on his shoestring, one of his shoes untied. So I held the door for him until he got his shoe tied, and then I was standing there holding the door, and he raised up, and I said, here you are. He shot through that door and never said thank you or nothing else. And being Tony, I stood there graciously, and then I said, you're welcome. Was that necessary? No, but it just made me feel better for the moment. What I didn't see were some other people standing on the other side of me. And this guy said, I saw that. He said, I wanted to say something myself. And I said, everywhere you go, I said, this rudeness. And I said, he knew I was holding that door for him, and he just shot right by me. And I said, I wanted to let that door go and just hit him right in the rear end with it. And the guy said, no, you did right. He said, I was fixing the holler from over there. You're welcome. He said, and then he looked at me and said, but we can't stop, can we? No, we can't. And you better open that door the next time, the next time, the next time. So don't grow weary helping people who are ungrateful. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Do it for the Lord and do it for the Lord. Do it because of God. Listen, do it for God and because of God and through God and to honor God. I'm going to say it again. Do it for God, because of God, through God, to honor God. And you keep that focus. It's all about Him. I'm going to do it for Him and through Him, and I'm going to do it for His honor. And it doesn't make any difference whether they like me or not, or they give me any thanks or not. I'm going to keep on doing what God put me here to do. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Honoring God. And then I close. We're there. He's closing. Yes, He's closing. Just listen. Just know who the believers are and who aren't, okay? So, here's what he says. Take note of those who... Now, this is serious. Take note of those who refuse to obey what we say in this letter. Stay away from them, so they'll be ashamed. You said, have you ever caught that before? There's a lot in here that's just kind of new to us. He says, stay away from those who refuse to obey the Word of God, make them ashamed. He said, don't think of them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a brother or sister. Now, this is serious business right here. And he's talking about fellow Christians, church members. He's saying, you take note. And if they're refusing to obey the Word, no matter what they call themselves, he said, don't hang out with them. Don't encourage them. In other words, you know, don't be an enabler. But don't treat them as an enemy. They're still Christians, but they don't have it together. There's something wrong in their lives. You know, he said, but warn them. Warn them and warn them. I don't know if Christians, if enough of us are willing to sit down with someone and say, hey, what's happening with you? And let them talk. And then tell them. Share with them. Man, we got to get you out of this. You can't keep doing this. Not so good of things are going to happen if you keep this up. So I want to close with this. And he says, know all this. Know the signs. Know the coming. Know the outcome. Know it all. Know to be godly. Keep on honoring God no matter what. But we close with this. Know those who say they're Christians is what it's saying, but they don't obey the Word. But we want to close with one other thing. As you do all this, what hope is there for you and me? May the Lord of peace Himself give you His peace at all times. And in every situation, the Lord be with you all. When you obey God, when you stand firm in the Word the best you know how, when you give it all you've got, you give it your best, you stand strong, and I'm here to let God live in and through me. I'm going to do this for the Lord, in and through God. I'm going to do it for His honor and glory. I'm going to keep on this thing. I may stumble. I may hit the ground at times, but God picks me up. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to stay in the truth because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and He's my Savior and Lord. I'm going to keep doing this, even if everybody else is totally ungrateful. God, it's about You. I'm here because of You. I'm here for You. I live in and through You and You and through me. And what happens as a result of that? Jesus says, I give you peace. You'll have peace in your heart, peace in your life, and I'll see to it that in the end, you're going to be standing with Me, the Prince of Peace, and receive the crowns and rewards you've earned for being faithful on this earth to Me. Isn't that good stuff? Okay. We got to close. All right. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. It's all about You, Lord. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. What a struggle. Easy to say, but God help us to live it. Your will be done, not ours, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today, every day, our daily bread, our bread of Christ, our bread of Jesus, living bread, and the food we need, the money we need, everything. God, give us this day, every day, our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. We need forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord. So we forgive those who sin against us. God, give us the grace and more grace and more grace to forgive as You have grace in our lives and forgive us. And lead us not into any tempting, difficult, trying situation, and don't let us be led into it by ourselves or anybody else. Lead us not into it, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, all honor to you, Lord, forever and ever. God bless your people. Keep them safe, keep them strong, keep them well. Keep them prosperous, each and every one here this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.